Welcome to the podcast of the Mission Del Rey, a spirit-filled multicultural church located in Delray Beach, Florida. You can find more about the mission and Pastor Carl Thomas at www.themissiondelray.com. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Yep. You can ride if you want to. You can ride if you want to.
You can ride if you want to. Praise the Lord. If you got a Bible, go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 29. I'm going to get there in a minute, so no rush. So we're starting our new series today, and you know, I really enjoyed the Timothy series. I thought it was a lot of excitement. And if you're visiting today, you can get all our messages online for free. I think we got like over a year's worth on there now, and you know, you can get them, plug them into your iPod or whatever, have them playing. When I was in secular employment, I was different jobs. I would just have it playing in my, this is going to sound bad, so. But you don't want to do this, but this is what I did. I would have like revival going on all the time in my office. And I remember when God really began touching me with, this has nothing to do with my message, I don't know who this is for. When God really began to touch me with his anointing in a significant way, the glory of God would like descend in my office. This is going to sound funny. It would descend in my office and I would be laid out on the ground. And I'd be like, Lord, don't let anybody come in. Please, Jesus. Now, I worked for a brother. I was a deacon in a church. I worked for another deacon. So he understood the call of my life and what I was striving for. And really, his employing me was for what I could do for the company. But at the same time, he wanted to sow into my growth as a believer, you know, and that's just, you know, he had a real gift, a financial gift, and he wanted to get blessed in his gift, and he just sowed into me and my ministry, and so it was kind of like my Bible college time. So, you know, if you're in a, don't say, I'm in Bible college, that's why I'm not selling shoes laying on the ground. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But there was a season when I would just play these messages, and the Lord would just speak to me, and I had another friend who was a spiritual believer, and he walked into the office one day, and he's like, he was like one of those people really sensitive to the anointing. He's like, I was standing in the lobby, and I saw a river coming down the hallway. And I said, where's that river coming from? And I followed the river, and it's here in your office. I thought that was odd, you know, but I liked it. I was, you know, praise God, whatever it is, you know. So, but don't get the messages with the intent of laying down on the job. That wasn't my point. My point is, you know, sometimes God will speak a little nugget in a message, and it wasn't, you won't be ready to catch that nugget till 6 months later. And the Lord will prompt you, you know, remember that message? Remember that message? Or you'll be in your journal thinking about something, and you go back and listen to a message, and the same anointing is, I don't know how this works, but the same anointing that was in that service will just come into your room when you're listening to that message, and the Lord will minister to you in things that you weren't even ready to receive. Does that make sense? So all our messages are online. We're having a water baptism in 2 weeks. Is that right? 2 weeks? Yeah, next week is the Mission Kids thing. The week after that, we're having a water baptism. Solange isn't here, isn't she? No. Okay, good. We're going to have it in service, and it's going to be a little wild. We're not going to have it after service, not having it before. We're having it in service, and it's going to be really cool. But you got to sign up for the water baptism. You can either fill out a connection card, hand it in. You can go on the website, but you got to sign up ahead of time, and it's going to be really cool. It's going to be during worship, so you're going to be here nice and early, 2 weeks from now. God's going to really change some lives. So we finished our Timothy series, and our Timothy series really talked about what you believe matters and how you live your life matters. And I really felt like God is now leading us into this vision series. And if there's nothing you get from this series, if there's nothing you take home, here's what I want you to understand. And I want you to get this for your whole life, okay? If you take a note, you want to write this down. Vision determines decisions. Decisions dictate outcomes. Okay? Vision determines decisions. Decisions dictate outcome. You know, when a farmer is in his field, he doesn't look out on his rocky ground and lay on the ground and pray in corn. How many know that? You don't just pray in corn. There's something I have to do. Now, I can pray that God would bless my harvest. I can pray that God would bless the work of my hands, that he would multiply my efforts. I can pray that God gives me the Holy Ghost hookup on the cost of seed. I can pray for rain. I can pray that the soil would be fertile. But it's a little silly to just pray in corn. You know, there's something I have to do. I have to prepare the ground. I have to sow seed. I have to tend the crop. And at some point, I have to go harvest. I have a role to play. And as we read the word, it's important to understand the majority of the people the scriptures are written to are people who are in an agrarian economy. Okay, the majority of the people who read the word were people who had to raise their own food, or they raised the animals, or they had a field, and they worked somehow with producing the food that they ate. It's not like today, and you go down to Publix and you buy food. At that point, you had to kill animals, you had to raise crop, you had to tend gardens. There was work involved. And so when God talks about seasons, you know, seasons to them were at least 3 months. You know, they understood, I plant seed today, 9 months from now I have a meal. So I need to be, you know, continually doing this kind of thing. And it would be silly to just, equally silly, to just expect one day to have that harvest in the field. It'd be silly one day to sit down at my table and say, God, what meal have you prepared for me today? God challenges us to have a vision for every area of our life. He challenges us to have a direction we want to be going in. Vision determines decisions. Decisions dictate outcomes. Now, in the world, we look at it backwards. Oh, Lord, I just pray that today I get a raise at my job. We never had a vision for that, so we didn't actually sow into something that would enable us to get a raise. We just wait for the fruit. God, He's in the beginning declaring the end. God is never caught off guard by what happens. From the very moment He thought of anything, He thought of everything. Okay, God is never caught off guard. What God wants us to do as a people, as the people of God, and if you're lost, even for you, what He wants is, He wants to birth a God-given vision that can determine the decisions in our lives, which can dictate the outcome we get. Does this make sense? Does this make sense? Too much of the world gets their vision for their life. They get it. Say it this way. We're to get the vision for our life from revelation, not imitation. We're to get it by revelation, not imitation. Too often we see somebody who looks popular and somebody who's on top and somebody who has the fruit we want, and we say, I'm just going to get what he has and I'll just do it the way he did it. And if you want to know what in our society today are the driving forces in our society? What are the most driving social forces, the driving economic forces? If you want to see what is shaping the minds of our country right now, all you have to do is go to any middle school. You go to any middle school and you'll see people trying to get an identity by imitating someone else. That's why middle school is so miserable for so many people. You don't know who you are, and so you spend your life trying to imitate everybody who's popular. Figuring out your identity by which imitation gives you the most satisfaction. This makes sense? Anybody know what I'm talking about here? And the divisions are never more clear in this planet than in middle school. Kids who grew up right next door to each other enter the sixth grade, and all of a sudden, this one looks like they're dead, and this one looks like they just got off the beach, and this one looks like they're ready for a modeling shoot, and it's like, y'all know what I'm saying, right? Yeah. They become these diametric extremes of every identity in society, because they get their identity through imitation, not revelation. Wow. This makes sense? Yeah. Imitation, not revelation. And what God really wants us to do is, God wants us to get a true vision for our life, which then can set the course for the rest of our life. Proverbs chapter 29, let's go there. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 says this. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Let me read this again. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Now, you got to understand, when they say the law here, they're not specifically talking about the dietary laws and the religious laws. What they're talking about is God's way, Torah. Torah being God's way. Blessed are those who keep God's way, but those who do not have prophetic vision cast off restraint. They cast off that confining direction. If you don't have a vision for your life, if you don't have anything that kind of keeps you in boundary, then you're going to do whatever feels good to you. And your whole life is spent, what's going to feel good come Friday? What's going to feel good come Saturday? We don't look beyond 5 days in the future because we don't have any kind of prophetic vision for our life. So we get, you know, 6, 8 months, 12 months, 18 months, 2 years, 4 years down the road, and we say, how did I get here? How did I get into this place of not knowing where I'm going? How did I get in this place where I don't have a career? How did I get in this place of sin? I don't even know who I am now. How did I get here? How did I get to a place where people think that I'm this person I never wanted to be? How did I get to this place where I have a dead-end job and it's never going to get better? How did I get to this place when I was a kid, I thought I was going to be somebody, and today I'm not? How did I get to this place? Vision determines decisions. Decisions dictate outcome. You make decisions without a vision, you have no control over the outcome. Because every time a situation comes around, we invent a new decision based on that circumstance. This is why Paul was telling Timothy, you got to get your doctrine sound. You see, we have to have an ethos for our life, an ethos. It's like a belief system that rides above everything else. Everything else that we decide is not going to violate this ethos, this plan, this vision for my life, this fundamental, foundational moral code. No matter what happens, I'm not violating this. Remember when the Hebrew boys were there and they said, you are going to bow down and worship. And he said, listen, my God is able to deliver me, but even if he doesn't, I still will worship God, even if he doesn't. You see, these guys had an ethos. They had an ethos. They had a belief system that they refused to violate. Even if it doesn't solve my immediate need, even if it doesn't minister to my immediate desire, even if I don't get what I want right now, I'm not going to violate the vision. They had set their hearts to worship God. They say, I have a vision for my life. My vision determines my decisions. My decisions dictate my outcome. I'm heading straight for that right there. There was a time, I've told this story a lot, but it's worth repeating. Tracy and I were trying to, I had a ministry opportunity in Georgia that I wanted to go pursue. And it really, really in the natural, it looked like it was going to solve all of our problems. Financial, ministerially, school, I mean, just housing. It just seemed like it was the panacea. It was going to solve all of our issues of our lives. We put our house on the market, and homes have been selling like this in our condo. We put it on the market, and immediately the housing stopped selling. I mean, I don't believe I caused the housing stop, but I know nobody in my development sold a house for the next 18 months. There were houses that they cut 50% value. But nothing sold. And so a woman came to me, and they said, listen, here's how you can sell your house. You get a statue of Saint, I don't know, Billy Bob. I don't remember even which one it was. But you get this and you bury it in your front yard. And you say the Hail Mary 3 times. In your house. Oh no, and you burn a green candle. That's what it was. You bury this statue in your front yard and you burn a green candle, and your house will sell. And I said, you know what? I bet it would. I bet that would work. I absolutely believe that would work because the enemy wants me to violate my ethos. You see, I don't turn to anything but Jesus for my blessings. You know what I'm saying? I am not going to go anywhere but Jesus. And since Jesus is the one who determines, who has set my vision, that all my decisions are based upon, I'm not going to turn and say, you know what? Jesus is important to me, but selling my house is a little more important. So for right now, I'm going to step over here into another ethos. I'm going to turn to idolatry to get the blessing I want. Then when I get my house, I'll come back over here to Jesus and say, here's what I've decided, Lord. This is what I've done. How am I going to get my vision fulfilled now? You hear what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Too many people set a vision for their life and then ask God to bless it, instead of getting the vision that's already blessed. There was a prophet named Jeremiah, and he's a fairly important prophet in the Old Testament. And at the beginning of Jeremiah's ministry, he didn't just, you know, kind of work in children's ministry and work his way up as an associate pastor and then become, you know, like, you know, the family life pastor and then, you know, get to preach every couple weeks for the pastor and then get started his own church. God came and encountered Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, the Lord began speaking to him. He said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." You see, when you were created by God, He knew you before you ever had flesh. One guy said it this way: before we were born on this earth, we were a thought encircling the mind of God. One guy had a prophetic vision of heaven. This isn't biblical, but this is what he said. I like to think of it. There's these thoughts circling God, and they're saying, "Lord, bring me to the earth. I'll worship you. Let me be born. I'll worship you." And these thoughts entered the earth. Now, we know that we're three-part beings. We know that God took the dust of the earth. He breathed into it. That dirt, our natural flesh, is our body. He breathed into it. That's our spirit. Where they joined together, that's our soul. Our spirit comes directly from God. Our soul is where our mind, will, and emotions are. Our flesh was corrupt, and it's our job to be taking over this corrupt earth for the glory of God. Amen. So as Jeremiah came into the earth, at the very beginning, I want you to see this. At the very beginning of his ministry, God wanted him to know, listen, this ain't about you. It ain't about what you've done. It ain't about how you've pleased me. It's not about how you've acted correctly. It's not about how you learned enough scripture. It's not about how you've done things and now you've earned my blessing. It's not about you keeping things right. Before you ever did anything, I knew you. And I chose you back then. Listen, you're not here by accident today. You didn't hit this planet by accident. You weren't born by accident. You're not I don't care how your mother got pregnant. I don't care the circumstances. Before you were born, God knew you. And he had a plan that was good. Amen? He says it to Jeremiah later on. He says in Jeremiah chapter 29, he says, "I know the plans that I have for you. Plans of good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." Listen, I don't know where you're at today in your walk, in your life. I don't know where you're at in your vision for life. I don't know if you were 13, you said, "By the time I'm 20, this is going to happen," and now you're 21 and you ain't no closer than you were at 13. I don't care if your life has gone down. I don't care if your life has gone up. I don't care if you came today addicted or free. I don't know what your testimony is. I don't know what you're struggling with. I do not know. But I can tell you definitively, as much as I know that the earth is beneath me and Tracy is my wife and I'm called to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ, as much as I know my name, I know that God has a plan for your life. I know that God has a plan, a future, and a hope, a plan to prosper you. Amen. I know that God is the God of love who created you with a good plan. I know that God created you to worship Him. I know that God created you to be above and not beneath. I know that God has created you to be the head and not the tail. I know that God has not created you to be addicted or bound or dejected or depressed. God has created you to be a vessel of worship on the earth. Can you say amen? Come on, give praise to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it, Jesus. Jesus said, God says this. He says, listen, I know the plans that I have for you for good and not for evil, give you a future and a hope. He says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Listen, if we're going to get a vision for our lives, there's a couple ways to do it. There's a lot of self-help books that are really good at helping people get successful by world standards. And if you want to become a doctor, I recommend that you go see a successful doctor and figure out how he did it. And if you want to be a lawyer, get discipled by a successful lawyer. Or if you want to be an athlete, you know, get the best coaches in the world. Or you want to be a musician, you know, get somebody who has that music gifting. But I tell you what, if you want to fulfill the purpose for your life, if you want to figure out, you know, because You're created with a purpose. You're not just here groping in the darkness, like it says in the Bible, searching for your way. We're not here just, wandering around and whatever may happen, may happen. I'm not just, dating everybody and like musical chairs. As soon as the music stops, that's the one I marry. And that's how so many people find their mate. They just do this series dating, and by the time they hit that wedding age, whoever they happen to be with, that's the one they spend the rest of their life with. Music stops, we're sitting, all right, now we're married. We're going to raise kids together. There's a better way. There's a better way to find your career. There's a better way to find your purpose. The Bible says that the Father is like a master potter. A master potter. And when you think of this master potter, there's this wheel that's spinning around and around, and he gets this lump of clay, right? Throws it in the middle, and he begins forming it. Now, he already knows what that looks like before he starts. Right? It's just a lump of clay, but he already knows where that's going to... He knows exactly what he's going to make. He doesn't just jam his hand on it, and whatever happens, that's what he's going to sell. You hear what I'm saying? So he begins forming this pot. When it's done, he cuts the bottom off, and he puts it in the kiln, and he bakes it, and then he, paints it a little bit, cooks it again, and he puts it on the shelf. And someone comes up to the pot, and they say, "Pot, what are you for?" And they can look, and on the tag, there's a little label. Who put the tag there? The master potter. The master potter put the tag there. Hear me. You were created with a purpose. How do I find this purpose? Well, you can stumble through life and find out where your gifts and talents are. This kind of works out. Or we can go to the master potter. And we can find out, Lord, what did you create me for? What's my purpose? Because when I read the Bible, I'm not seeing my life there. And I don't see what I see in the Bible in my life. So what's my purpose? What's the vision for my life? Where am I supposed to be going right now? What's the goal here, Lord? What's the direction? What's wait for it, the vision. What's your vision for my life? What's your vision for my life? You see, we have a vision for this ministry. And every part of this ministry has got to fit into the big vision. I can't have a Mission Kids director out there thinking, we're going to do one thing. We're going to raise up country music stars. That's not going to work with the vision of the mission. And I can't have the greeter ministry out there making sure people are dressed correctly. Wow. That doesn't fit with the vision of this ministry. And I can't have Sergio up here leading worship, rebuking people, telling them how much God hates them, because that doesn't line up with the vision of this. You understand what I'm saying? You can't go to McDonald's and people talking about, hey, welcome to McDonald's. You want some barbecue? Because there's a good barbecue place down the street. That doesn't line up with the vision, right? You don't show up at work whenever you feel like showing up to work. You don't get hired and then you say, hey, yeah, I want to work here. And they say, okay, let me ask some questions, okay. And then you say, okay, oh, by the way, before I start, I just want to let you know, I'm probably going to show up around 10:30, 11. And I need to get paid, every third day, and I need it in cash, and here's how much I need you to give me. I mean, I'd apply there, don't get me wrong, but... So, in the natural sense, we understand this concept. I've never enrolled in a college class and said, yeah, hey, professor, I see the syllabus that you got here, and this is all good and all, but I don't plan on doing any of that. Let me let you know what I plan on doing in this class. I see you got tests here, but I don't really believe in tests. So I won't be taking any of those tests, but I still believe I'm going to get an A. And I know you say I'm supposed to come to class every day, but I don't really think that's important. So I'm going to come when I wake up in time to come. It would not even enter our mind to do that. Because we understand order and vision. And we submit to it immediately in the natural realm. People who don't know Jesus at all will submit to it instantly. Okay, you're saying this is how I have to dress every single day and be here at 9 o'clock. This is when I take a lunch. This is how I cut my hair. This is how I talk. This is what I'm supposed to do for 8 hours a day. This is when I'm supposed to come. This is what I'm supposed to study at home. Okay, absolutely, I'll do that, no problem. That's what I'm doing with my life. Come to church. Look, I need you to show up just, you know, a half hour early, and I need you to work this sin out. Oh, you can't control me! Oh, come on. That's control. I'm free in Christ. There's no elders. Come on. We'll instantly give our lives to someone who's never met Jesus. There's families that your every single meal is dictated by a man named Coach. Coach says the kid's got to be there at this time. You're there. Coach said he's got to eat this way. You're there. Saturdays, there. Oh, can't come to Sunday this week. Coach said we have a game. We just give our lives, just give our whole lives a thing that have no heavenly reward at all. No heavenly reward at all. What in light of eternity will mean nothing. Nothing. It'll all be consumed in the fire. But the Spirit rises up in people when God begins to demand something righteous. Oh, you can't control me. Oh, that pastor, he's judging me. Oh, he's not blah, 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 blah. You pay your rent every time, every week on time, every month. You got your rent right in there. You pay electric on time. Tithe, oh, I don't know. I don't know about that, pastor. Why are you more submitted to FPL than you are God? Why don't you go to FPL talking about, I don't got no money this week. Can you multiply my money? Well, I don't know who that's for. Woo, Lord Jesus. Let's just have a sip of water. Woo, all right. Man, I don't know where that was. Woo. Wow, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Woo. All right, so, but God says, woo, I know the plans I have for you. Bless you and not curse you. But we got to get a vision that comes from God. God created you with a purpose, right? And let's say we get that purpose for our life, right? We get our vision by revelation, not imitation. I know the whole world is doing that, but I wasn't created to do that. I was created to do this. You all have gifts and talents, you have strengths, and you have weaknesses. We spend too much time trying to build our weaknesses instead of just pouring into our strengths and believing God's going to bring someone alongside us that complement our weaknesses. You know that? We spend, you know, I can spend all month trying to learn how to administrate. I'll just keep working on preaching and believe God's going to bring me an administrator. I'll catch that in a minute. But let's figure out our strengths. Let's figure out the vision for our life. Let's figure out where God wants us to go. And now, if we go ahead and we lock into that, in the end, we'll be at the place God had for us. The problem is, too many folks don't know the vision for their life. And so they're just doing this groping that we're talking about. They just do this wandering around. In Romans, Paul wrote about it this way. He says, for they knew God, they did not honor him as God, and they became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts were darkened. In order to receive God's vision for our life, we have to submit to God's plan for our life. Too often, we're afraid that if we submit to God, he's going to rebuke us or reject us or correct us or tell us how bad we are. But that's not what the Bible tells us. I submit to God's ways because his ways are better than my ways. I want the word of wisdom in a problem, not the word of judgment. You hear that? It's interesting. If you look at the 9 gifts of the Spirit, there's no gift of condemnation in there. There's no gift of judgment. There's no gift of curse. There's no gift of confusion. There's no gift of judgment. There's no gift of cell phones going off in the middle of the pastor's message. That's not your phone? Oh, it's Anastasia. It's my daughter's toy. My bad. Check this out. He gave 9 gifts that they talk about to the church. This is really cool. There's the working of miracles. But I've never seen a bad miracle. Amen. There's gifts of healing. We submit to God's plan, he gives healing. There's the word of knowledge. Now, have you ever been in a situation where you didn't know what to do? You're like, I just don't understand what I'm supposed to do here. Sure, could use some knowledge. There's a gift for that. Lord, I'm confused. I don't understand where I'm supposed to be going. Gift of the word of wisdom. There's a gift for that. Lord, I don't know where I'm supposed to be going anymore. I don't know your vision. There's the gift of prophecy for divine direction. Y'all catching this? God gave gifts to the church, not to condemn the church. God was so interested in us coming into our purpose and coming into our vision. He equipped the saints so we can get plugged into that vision and we can begin to fulfill our purpose so we can stop groping in the darkness or functioning in futility and not accomplishing the things we were designed to accomplish. This making sense? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says the natural mind doesn't understand the things of God because they're discerned spiritually. How do we obtain our vision for our life? They have to be discerned spiritually. Vision determines decisions. Decisions dictate outcomes. I want a vision for my life that I can base all my decisions around that. And some of you, this is going to become, you know, things are going to be going off. Oh, you know what? I don't have a vision in my work life. I don't have a vision in my family life. I don't have a vision in my finances. I don't have a vision in my ministry. I'm directionless. I'm like a ship without a rudder, just kind of wandering through the seas. And I'm telling you, God has a better plan for you than that. He has a vision for your life. Tell somebody, God has a vision for my life. It's not your vision. Tell them, it's my vision. So you say, Pastor, I don't know the vision for my life. How do I get it? How do I get it? How do I get God's vision for my life? First, you have to understand that God created, come on, get this. You have to understand God created you with a purpose. I don't have the vision. Well, that's not because there isn't a vision. You just don't have it yet. You have to understand that God created you with a loving plan, with a good plan of prosperity, a good plan of health, a good plan of happiness. God created you to glorify Him on the earth. That's why he created you. That's the purpose of your life on the earth. It fits into his big plan. You're part of his overall ministry. You're a sub-ministry of his big ministry. And just like he has a big plan for the church on the earth, he has a plan for you fitting into that plan. He's a wise and master builder. Amen? And it lines up with everything else he's doing. Okay, Pastor, I got that. God is a good God, and he created me with a purpose and a plan, and he has a vision, but I still don't have the vision. How do I get the vision? Number two, learn God's ways. Learn God's ways. You want to know what God will do? Learn what he's done. Everything he does now lines up with what he's done in the past. So what's that mean, Pastor? Well, I point to this little book all the time. Read your Bible. It helps. Read your Bible. It helps. What has God done in the New Testament? What did he do for the New Testament saints? What did he do for Paul? What did he do for Peter? What did he do for Silas? What did he do for James? What did he do for John? What has he done for these people? What did he do for Cornelius? And what did he do with the centurion? What has God done? Who is God? And how does he interact with people today? How he interacts with people today and in his word is how he wants to interact with you. You want to fellowship with other saints. What's he doing in the lives of other people? A really great way to do that. You're like, well, I don't know anybody at the mission, Pastor. Get in a connection group. Get in a connection group. Get around other believers and see where he's leading this little group of ragtag believers in Delray Beach. Where is he leading us? Because you fit in there somewhere. It's not possible that he's got 150 people going in one direction and he's got a curse for you. It don't make no sense. You want to get around other believers and you want to talk about what God is speaking to you, and you'll be surprised that he's speaking the same thing to other people. You'll be surprised that he's giving other parts of the same word to other people. You'll be like, oh, I saw ABC, and someone like, that's funny, I saw CDE. And not the literal words, but you know what I mean. Like, there's, he completes revelation because he talks to people. He wants us to need each other. Get around other believers. Open the word. Fellowship. Preach to one another. We got some anointed folks leading connection groups in here. You got issues in your life? You need to get in a connection group. Some of you are going to need to lead a connection group soon. Just get in. Get plugged in. Start pouring into one another's lives. Okay? Okay, so we're going to know God's character. We're going to see what he's done. Number three. This is a radical one. You ready? It's a radical one. You ready? Pray. It's radical, I know. It's radical. What is prayer? Prayer is talking to God. It's not a, thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth, thus saith your thine ways in thy counselor almighty, hallelujah. Amen. I mean, it's that's not prayer. That's not prayer. Prayer is conversation with God. That's prayer. Fellowshipping with God. Spending time with God. If I want to know more about my wife, I don't hang out with Brian. Hopefully. I mean, we got a conversation if that's what, you know what I'm saying? That's okay, don't go there. I'm joking. It was a, forget that. We'll take that out of the podcast. If I want to know more about Tracy, I go to Tracy. Does it make sense? And it's great if I ask people who know Tracy about Tracy. And that's good, you know. Hey, you know, if we're not married yet and I want to take her out on a date, so I ask her friends, hey, what kind of chocolate does she like? Where does she like to eat? You know, what kind of movie does she like? I mean, I didn't do any of those things, but if I had, that's what I would have done. I just showed up with a ring. Hey, will you marry me? That was me. No, really. Because I knew her father, God. But if I want to know Tracy, I want to find out things about her, I ask people who know her really well. So I fellowship with other believers, getting their revelation of God so I can kind of know him a little better. But it's better, at some point, you got to go on the date. Amen. It's great to get all the chocolate and you got the right outfit and you got the perfume and you got the dinner plans and you got, I mean, that's all wonderful, but that ain't a date. If that were the truth, then there'd be like 8 million girls married to Justin Bieber right now. You know, that's not it. They're singing to the picture, you know, they got his favorite whatever. I'm using proactive, we're the same, you know. That ain't a date. You know what I'm saying? At some point, you got to go on the date with Jesus. At some point, you got to make the decision. Now, me and him are an item. I'm going to spend time with God because now I'm linking my vision to his vision. And since I don't have a vision for my life, I want to just link myself to Jesus' vision. And as I help fulfill his vision, he'll help fulfill my vision. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
This is a very bad example, but I'm going to use it. There are people who pour themselves into the mission. God, when he sets up a house, a spiritual house, a church, he gives a man or a woman of God a vision. He brings people alongside them to help fulfill that vision. That's how it works. It's how it's always worked. It's how it always will work. The man of God, Jesus is the head of the church, but he puts a human in charge, if that makes sense. Jesus is the head. He puts a human in charge in the human realm. And so he gives this human his vision for that church. He brings men and women alongside to help fulfill the vision that he gave the man. All right, we're all together here, right? So he's given me a vision for this house. He brings men and women alongside me to help me fulfill this vision. I then, in turn, cry out to God to understand the vision he has for them. And I help them fulfill their vision. Does that make sense? Those are the people I pour into. Those are the people I get prophetic words for all the time. Those are the people that I try to encourage in their gifting. Those are the people that I say, hey, I was praying for you, and I saw this gift, and I want you to come do the prayer after worship because I see God wants to use you this way. You want to join yourself to God's vision. Get surrounded by people who are fulfilling His vision so God can speak to them about your vision. Is that? Yeah. Am I communicating that well? Then, as we have faithful elders in our life, helping guide us in the Word and guide us in our ministry and guide us in our lives, guide us in our employment, then all of a sudden our vision kind of starts to make sense. It starts to become clear. We start seeing, well, I see this is where God is leading me. I had a vision of this and I had a vision of that, but now it's all starting to come together. You don't have to live without a vision. You don't have to live directionless. You don't have to live groping in the darkness. Here's what I want to do. Sergio, the worship team, come on up. Here's what I want to do. And this is why we're just a little different than other churches. We're going to worship now. We're going to worship, and here's what I believe. Here's what I know. God is going to give people visions for their life in worship. I want you to pour your heart out to God during this worship time. And we're going to sing, I can do anything with you, Jesus, because we have this saying that we used to say a lot. If I want what He wants for the reason God wants it, I'm unstoppable and undefeatable. If I want what God wants for the reason God wants it, I'm unstoppable and undefeatable. Too many of our visions have not come to pass because they weren't born from God. We had our plan. We asked God to bless it, but He's not blessing things that go contrary to His plan. So we're going to ask God to give us His plan so we can walk in fulfillment and purpose in our lives. Amen? Amen. If I could turn off the house lights, let's stand to our feet. And we're going to begin to worship. And this is going to be an experiential thing. Some of you are going to sit down. Some of you are going to stand. Some are going to lie on your face. But God is going to begin to speak to some people. God is going to begin to show some people the vision that He has for their life. And I'm here to tell you. Reba Sunday. Can y'all hear me? This is not a prophetic tongue. This is me just building myself up. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost if you got a prayer language. There's three women in here at least. And if this is you, the Spirit will agree instantly, so you don't got to kind of make it up or whatever. There's at least three women in here, and your identity has been formed in unclean sexuality. And I'll get more graphic, and if there's kids in here, you might want to. Something very young, trauma at a young age has a unique ability to form somebody's identity. And there's at least three women in here, you were sexually abused at a young age, and that has set a course for your life. And I'm here to let you know, God has talked to me to let you know that is not God's plan for your life. I tell you right now, I feel the Spirit of God moving right now. That is not who you are. He's not disappointed in you, you've just been lied to. If you turn your life to Jesus, things will turn around. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Reba shandiride ke taraba reba. Reba shandiride ke tandiribe. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. There's an anointing coming in the room right now. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I ask you right now that you would pour out vision. Somebody's Someone has given up on the church and you're disappointed. And God says, listen. Listen, I've not given up on you. Don't give up on my bride. I hear him saying this time is different. I don't know who that's for. This time is different. He says, if you line up, Reba Shantere. Lemba. We could sing, Sergio.